True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, here we go on a Red Friday in Kansas City. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. We're hanging out till 2 o'clock up in North Kansas City, KC North, for those of you that want me to be specific as well. We're hanging out for an awesome tailgate that begins at 11 o'clock at Community America Credit Union, the branch off of 29 and 152 Friday tailgate. It goes till 1 o'clock, Cody. Free food to the first 100 people. The cheerleaders from the Chiefs are hanging out. KC Wolf, KC Chiefs Rumble going to be out here. You can score some Chiefs gear. We're right next to the giant, they call it the big ATM here at Community America, where somebody's going to win some tickets to the Chiefs game on Sunday.
Yeah, and can get some free gear, obviously, from Community America and the Chiefs as well for being here. So all you got to do is show up from 11 to 1, enjoy some free lunch, take photos with the Chiefs cheerleaders and KC Wolf, enjoy some music, and come watch a live radio show if that's part of what you're interested in doing as well. So we're going to be here. I don't know exactly what they have here, but I can tell you the food because the guy's pulling up right now.
Food truck just pulled up.
It says the Corn Dog Company, Corn Dog Perfection, home of the famous honey dog.
There we go.
Is what it says on the outside. Look, I'm not anti-corn dog. I'm not a monster. So, you know, that'll be a chance to get some free food
corn
as well, like we
dog,
said, for the first 100 people.
Corn Dog Perfection. Gotta have the honey dog.
They said some of those gigantic cookies they said for free inside the lobby. A little bit of everything here. So if you want to come out and see us, we're here starting now. The event is 11 to 1 here at Community America. We'll be here until 2, broadcasting live at Community America for their Red Friday tailgate.
Yeah, again, Tiffany Springs Market Center here in KC Mo off of 29 and 152. 1 hour from now also, Josh Briscoe will join us. Of course, part of the Chiefs Radio Network. He'll be hosting pre- and post-game on Sunday. I'll have to give Briscoe a hard time. He's 0-1. He's 0-1 now. We got to get him with a winning record as well. The Chiefs,
yeah,
gotta win.
I think
Briscoe, so. Briscoe's got to get a win as well. We can't let him start off, you know, two games below 500 or so. That can't happen. So we'll
or
talk.
You could be 0-5 when you make your picks. You know, things go different ways sometimes.
We will sort out our picks for the Circa Millions as well.
Well, I'm trying to go 0-5 this week. Let's make it very clear.
We need to. It's our best chance at 25K. So we'll talk to Briscoe. We're also, in about 30 minutes, going to be joined by Jake Eisenberg. He, of course, will be on the call throughout the weekend of the Royals series against the Phillies up in Philadelphia. And let's just be honest, unless you think this team is basically winning all but two or three games down the stretch, I think this thing is over, unfortunately. But we'll talk to Eisenberg about it. And Vinny did hit a big milestone yesterday, looking ahead to the future a little bit. But I think more of that convo definitely needs to be about the future at this point, unfortunately, with you know, too many things went wrong, too many injuries have piled up, obviously poor performances last night. Tyler Tolbert's on the team to steal bases, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought.
So why was he just standing at first base hanging out?
I don't get it.
Look, it's the same thing. Like, I know that they know you're going to steal. You know that they're going to steal. But also, that's the point. You're so fast that we don't have to worry about that was kind of the idea. Or at the very least, you should have a certain success rate. He's been frozen at first a couple of times. I understand if you don't get the jump and you're just going to get out. We're having a different conversation. And yet, still frustrating. But it is a Red Friday. We're at a Red Friday tailgate here for Community America. So let's talk about the Chiefs. And what I would say were pretty harsh words from Matt Nagy as it relates to Juwan Taylor. Now, we're going to play this audio in just a minute. I want to point out that when Juwan Taylor was not committing penalties, his stats were actually somewhat favorable in the blocking category on Friday, which makes it even more frustrating. Listen to what Matt Nagy had to say about where Juwan Taylor is and his most recent penalty issues.
Speaking to the obvious, the penalties, that can't happen. And so that's where we're at. We've made it loud and clear. Juwan knows that. He understands it. It's something that, especially in a moment like that in that game, when things are a little bit off kilter now with the personnel, and you start to move the ball, you have a couple positive plays, and then boom, a penalty or a second. You know, so three penalties and a hold, not good enough. He knows that. When there's no one hiding from it, he's not hiding from it. He understands what's expected, and I think he's ready for that challenge here as we go.
Nagy talking about Juwan Taylor's penalty struggles and specifically some of those holding calls as well. The thing that I think is frustrating for a lot of Chiefs fans is, like, it's not acceptable. You know, he knows basically you can't do it. We've told him that loud and clear. He's been with this team since 2023. Now, I guess the difference, you could argue, is two things, Cody, and why could this time they actually hold him accountable is it's essentially the final year of his contract, because we all know they're not picking up the final year. They can get out of it after this year, eat a little bit of dead cap. And they actually, we think, have a legitimate replacement behind him that they're paying a good chunk of money to in
sure.
Jalen Moore. Like in 2023, the first year they signed him, there was no other option after him.
No.
It's year one, all that. Last year, no real other option. You were worried about the left tackle
problem. Yeah, they couldn't even solve left tackle and left guard.
So they couldn't mess with right tackle. The difference this year is Josh Simmons, I think he was fine, and he's obviously going to be the starter all year. Right tackle, the money is the money, but as you get a couple more weeks into this thing, you have a legitimate backup, and so maybe are they claiming they're going to actually hold him accountable this go-around? Because it has been multiple years, and this penalty thing is not a new setup. We've seen this since 2023.
I think you've discussed this before. You were talking about it as it relates to Jets fans. Mm-hmm. People like to know that if you aren't doing your job, that there is repercussions for not doing it. We've seen other players on other teams. We've seen players on this team. Like, the second Carson Steele fumbled the ball last year, he was on the curb. Like not that harsh, but, like, the man never touched the ball again. And so when you look at those positions, why is Juwan Taylor just monetary? You just tell me
monetary,
just because you accidentally paid him too much, he can't be there? And, yeah, that's the vet versus Carson Steele. But we're past the excuse part of it. He doesn't get the vet pass, the money pass. It is rare. And, like, we listen to a lot of these press conferences. We hear from a lot of these coaches. We do a lot of this in this industry. We hear so much of it. It is rare for a member of the Chiefs staff to single out an individual player and say, I told him that ain't okay. Like, we've told him, no good. You can't keep doing that. This is an unacceptable way to operate. That, to me, means or you won't have a starting job anymore. Like, it comes with the implied part of the second part of that sentence for me.
Right, and this time around, I think the reason why they can say that publicly is because there is that option you know, behind him and Jalen Moore. Now, I don't.
Otherwise, it's an empty threat, yeah.
For sure, and because saying that last year, I mean...
we're going to bench you oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Sure,
so,
coach.
So this year, I think if you're Juwan Taylor, now, look, his check cashes no matter what. That's the way it works. But he recognizes his level of play. He recognizes that there's a guy in camp with him throughout St. Joe that was battling at the right tackle spot that is also making a decent chunk of change. So I think it's real. Now, I don't think the leash is as short as maybe some Chiefs fans hope it is. You know, I think this is still a situation where the Chiefs would give him multiple weeks. I told you if he has another game on Sunday, stalls out drives because of holding call, multiple false starts, I would be fine in week three them saying, all right, it's Jalen Moore's job. I don't think the Chiefs and Andy Reid will do that yet. I think we are weeks away from them being willing to do it. But I think they would do it this year. But I don't think it's a one-week thing or one. Let's say the opening drive. I hope it's not this, but opening drive.
He gets a holding penalty that's
solved. They're not pulling him one drive into the game on Sunday. I think you know that, too.
No, but if he's four penalties in again in the fourth quarter, I think they might.
Maybe.
To at least make a point.
Yeah, it's easy to pull Kingsley last year. He's a rookie. He's a vet. Andy also is not going to embarrass a player. You know that. He's not going to embarrass a veteran. He's just not. So they would be more likely to do it during the whole bye week, but
just the game week. Yeah,
yeah,
the game week. I will say that's what makes it more frustrating. It makes it more frustrating, Gold, knowing that when he's not doing the mistakes that seem like they are controllable, he's an okay right tackle. I'm not trying to lie to you and pretend like he's a superhero. But when he plays, the metrics bear out that he is an acceptable blocking right tackle when he's not doing goofy stuff like getting three false start penalties and a holding penalty. And, of course, him and Simmons got back-to-back penalties
that also added
on the same
it.
Drive, like, which made it even more frustrating.
But as much as we can use the vet stuff to his benefit and how Andy will treat him, dude, you're a veteran. You're making great money in the league at right tackle. You know they, for since 2023, and heck, we looked it up in 2023. I remember when it was the huge conversation the first few weeks. He was doing this in Jacksonville. Now, they weren't calling the false starts, but he was doing it in Jacksonville. He was penalized heavily in Jacksonville. Clean it up, man. Like, spend an offseason you've had two offseasons since this has been a known issue. Clean that up. You know, and the drive killer, someone brings up a good point on the text line. It's one thing you have penalties and with any player, but specifically when your quarterback is able to make Houdini type of plays, the one thing that prevents him from even doing that, obviously, is a play getting called back due to a penalty. Like, you can't.
Sure.
Even more reason why it's frustrating, because you know you have a quarterback on a 3rd and 8. Oh, that's more. Yes,
he might get 11 on the ground.
We know he can convert a 3rd and 15 as well, but still, when he does Houdini acts to convert a 3rd and 8, and then it gets called back because of a holding penalty, that's just such a deflator. You talk about emotion and not having it last week. That just will deflate any type of air that you have in the building on Sunday, any type of momentum your offense is having, all
I
of
agree.
It.
I just, like, you're stuck in the same thing. And, look, I can't help but wonder right now, like, if – because people who are doubting the Chiefs' offense, it's the same thing. If you put Patrick Mahomes on what I believe to be the Ravens' offensive roster and offensive line or the Bills' offensive roster and offensive line, I think he would look just as good offensively as those two teams looked. I don't think that he's being shortchanged to the point that he has – nothing or no one, but I also think that he has limited issues right now. And because there is no Xavier Worthy and no Rishi Rice, and I know Worthy will probably practice today, the rumor on the street is they're calling it a game-time decision. I'm now leaning in your direction, which is it's gamesmanship to try to force the Eagles to sit 10 minutes in a meeting and talk about what Xavier Worthy does for the roster, and that he's not playing this week. That seems insane to me that he would be available this week and that it's more likely by the Ravens game he would be available. But the idea that no Worthy, no Rice, your offensive line can't be screwy. You can't be hurting drives. The Chiefs are going to need 8 to 12 plays to go score every drive, and they're good at that. They were really good at that last year with limited weapons and a bad offensive line, or at least a bad left side of the offensive line. I don't want to put it on the whole offensive line. It's like saying the U.S. is bad at soccer. No, we're bad at men's soccer. There's a difference between the two. We're as a country not bad at it. We're just bad at men's soccer. But when you look at it, it's the left side of the line was a problem the entire time last year, and it takes 8 to 12 plays, Gold. That's what they need, 8 to 12 plays to go down the field, and then they can get there. So, yeah, he has simply got to be better. There is zero excuse considering the fact how much he makes, how long he's been in this league, and how he can block when he's not making these mistakes.
You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Again, in about 20 minutes, Jake Eisenberg will talk some Royals baseball with him. Now, we yesterday discussed, you know, what Gronk had to say and also the reality of what we all believe the reaction on Monday would be if they win versus a loss and everything like that. But for them to win on Sunday, knowing what we just said, Xavier Worthy unlikely to play, the defensive struggles from last week, Juwan Taylor's penalty issues, what does that look of the offense have to be? What's the identity of the team if they win on Sunday? How do they get that done? Because I think offensively, it's what they did last year. It's not going to be pretty. It's going
to
be
that,
multiple,
what I just said, 8 to 12 play
multiple
drives.
Multiple tight end sets, Cody, 10 play drives.
3.5 yard
a
runs.
A bunch of third down conversions, which they were very good at last year. It's going to be a lot of that. Like, I know we saw the deep shots to Tyquan, and I think there will still be a few spots for that. But it's more likely going to be first down, and they're going to pick up 4 yards to a quick throw to Juju, and it's 2nd and 6, and then they're going to run with Pacheco. He's going to get 2 or 3, and it's 3rd and 4, and it's going to be another quick pass to Hollywood Brown and hope that he can cut up field. And, like, it's going to be a lot of that, hopefully also to protect the defense a little bit. That, there is something to be said to that, I think, actually, on Sunday, given the playmaking ability of
keeps
the Eagles.
Them off the
and
field for a little bit.
If this defense doesn't get enough corrected, you know, those long drives at this point, maybe not the worst thing, not big picture long term, but if your defense is not there
up
yet, it's
going to
take some more time, some weeks ahead. The long drive, maybe not the worst thing. I don't think you want to get into a shootout, one, because of your offense, but also your defense was on the field a ton against the Chargers.
I will say, we might not have liked the Chiefs' identity last year, but by the end of the year, they had an identity, right? We knew what they were, Gold. it was a slog offensively and all the things you just mentioned. Slow, methodical drives, and the better version of the Chiefs' offense is when they were actually coming through in the red zone versus when they were falling short of the red zone. And then last year, in the middle part of the season, they were bend, don't break on defense. But for other parts of it, they were just, we're elite. We don't get pressure with our front four, but we play excellent coverage. We send a lot of blitzers. We confuse and disguise, and that's who we were. I'm trying to decide, because I don't think this team has an identity yet. They're not the big play team yet, and they can't be, really, with Worthy and Hollywood Brown missing in action for at least a little bit of time. So, yeah, I guess I'm back to last year's offensive identity, because that's the easiest thing to fall into, isn't it? There's no medium identity. I would say you could become a big play threat in the run game who ran it a bunch of times, but you got the same guys. And we already talked about how they don't get big plays out of the rushing attack, so that can't be your identity. It's not an option to you.
How much more do you guys on the text line, even Drew as well, think they're going to run on Sunday? Because the explosive plays are not going to come from the
running. Secondary is where you should attack, so I don't
Yeah, their secondary is their weakness. We know what that front is. Jalen Carter's playing in this game. Last week they ran the ball 11 times. We've gone over this all week. Pacheco only had 5 carries for 25 yards, I think it was.
Yeah.
But we went through the history. Carrington put out some great numbers this week over the last 300 or so carries and the lack of explosiveness from anybody. I don't care whether Pacheco, Hunt, whoever. And frankly, I think Pacheco and Breshard Smith are the only two players in the backfield even capable of potentially getting a big play. And honestly, I don't know if I can even say Pacheco. Maybe Breshard Smith, if he ends up getting a few more touches, is the only player in the backfield that's capable of that. So how much more are they running? I think they're going to run more, but what's that look like? Okay, so they had 11 carries. Are they running it 21 times, 22 times? Can they double
it? They should.
It?
Depends
they
on how
should.
The game starts.
Sure, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you get behind, and that's where the Chiefs, I think, different than last year. I would not recommend this team play from behind. Something they did very well last year and do very well historically. In this game, I would avoid at all cost, if you can. Obviously, I understand it's easy to just say,
Every team would love
but
to
like,
not have
in particular, yeah. I like, yeah. Look, there are a lot of teams, and the Chiefs are better at it than anyone else in NFL history. Like, statistically, better than anyone else in NFL history. For this game in particular, I would actively dodge it. I'll be interested to ask Briscoe, who we'll talk to at 11 o'clock. Obviously, you can hear his pregame show coming up on Sunday here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. But I'm with the conversation we were having yesterday. Can anyone at this point tell me what Kareem Hunt's at in here? You want to give him the ball on the 1 yard line and say, get it in the end zone. I'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
Any other touch between the other 1 yard line and the following two, the other 98 yards on the field, I'm not sure what you're getting out of that anymore. And you and I expressed this going into it. I wasn't trying to be a Kareem Hunt hater. He is a limited player. He came in and stepped up in a big
way.
Helped
him out big time last year.
Helped him out big time in a big way when they needed it. With Isaiah Pacheco. He's not the answer. He's not the answer. He is a solution for 3.5 yards a carry. And I'm looking for more than that. That's where I would offer up Breshard Smith quite a bit more in the running game than what I'm offering Kareem Hunt at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you in the run game that would be interesting to see if there's a shift. Let's remember, the reason why I still think the offense could look better on Sunday, even if the explosiveness is not necessarily there, is as we talked with Nate Taylor in the week as well, I think there's definite truth to the fact that you had a game plan built around Xavier Worthy, and then three plays in, it's done.
And once they figured it out, they could score late.
They now have a whole week, even though I know Worthy practiced limited yesterday. They know he's not playing, or that he is playing, right? One way or the other. They know, and I think the answer is he's not playing, but they know. And so they've had a whole week to get things corrected, but also game plan, what that's going to be like against an Eagles team that they're very familiar with, against an Eagles team that obviously destroyed them in the Super Bowl, specifically at the line of scrimmage. And so I am convinced there will be, especially the first 15 scripted, what's the adjustment? What's that look like? I tend to think Noah Gray's got a big opportunity this game. I know we were joking yesterday about Robert Tonyan in the red zone. Could he be someone 30-1 to get a touchdown? But I think this is a Noah Gray type of game as well. I could see him having a pretty strong afternoon, or at least opportunity.
Am I going to have to take a Noah Gray anytime touchdown if I can't get Robert Tonyan?
I don't know if he's finding the end zone, Cody. I just mean he's going to have some opportunities in the passing game. How many targets did he have last? Was Noah Gray targeted once?
I don't think
yes,
so.
I think he was targeted.
One time, maybe? Okay. Whatever that number was, 0 or 1, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 4 or 5 targets in this game. Now, does that mean that it's touchdowns? No, but I could see them having him a little bit more involved in this passing game.
Yeah,
he was targeted
one time and had 1 catch for 3 yards.
Okay. Yeah, I think that'll be
I don't
up.
Remember
I
that
think
catch.
I don't either. I think it was 3 yards. I just feel like
I just watched that game.
I think the targets will be up for him. Hoggler Brown had 16 targets. My guess is he does not have 16 targets again. I'm guessing they're going to spread things around. Now, he still might have double-digit targets. He might have 11 or 12 targets, but I don't think he's getting 16 again. I think Travis Kelce or Noah Gray are more targeted in this game.
I wonder if, guys, because I looked back, the Eagles outpossessed the Cowboys by 9 minutes. They had the ball 34 minutes in that first game, and I know they didn't look particularly great, but it might sound stupid, but it literally might come down to the way that you guys were talking about it as well, keeping the Eagles off the field. Who has the ball more ends up winning the game, actually, because the Eagles do the same sort of deal where they drain the clock a lot just because of the way that they play stylistically. Like, I wonder if whoever has the ball the most actually might be the team that ends up winning the game, and it could just be as simple as that.
By the way, the one catch, Noah Gray, it was the catch right before that set him up for the field goal. He didn't get out of
bounds. Oh, that's why I don't remember it.
Yeah, he didn't
you
get
remember
out of
the field goal, not the actual kick.
That's what it was.
That certainly makes a difference, at least on where you are or outside of it. Look, Drew, I don't think it's crazy, but this is also where I don't think the Chiefs' defense got enough credit last year or even in the first game this year. I'm not saying they played well, but it wasn't Amarian Hampton that tore him to shreds. Hell, in the Super Bowl, they sold out on stopping Saquon Barkley and did
Jalen Hurts.
Very nice job at stopping Saquon Barkley. Rushing quarterbacks have gotten the better of them at times, but the rushing attack has actually been pretty good. They allowed the 10th least rushing yards per game last year, and some of that, and they played in a lot of close games. So you got to remember, that comes with zero garbage time where a team was just throwing against you. They had like one game last year where someone would have just turned on the heat and said, well, let's just throw the whole time. That is every team running a normal offense for 60 minutes for 17 straight weeks or 16 straight weeks. So
it was Jalen that ended up killing him. He had 72 yards in that Super Bowl, and they only averaged 3 yards a carry, but they ran the ball 45 times. They had 135 yards just because they just had control
Hurts
over the game.
Awesome, yeah. Hurts was awesome in that game. Again, both his Super Bowl performances. They obviously won lost one. He was awesome in both of them.
He really was. He's played great in big games. That's part of the reason they've been in two Super Bowls in the, 5 years, 4 years he's been the starting quarterback?
I will say in the same thing. They're probably saying the same thing in Philadelphia about adjustments. I still do not think they look great against the Dallas Cowboys last Thursday night.
No,
it seems like that was a month ago, honestly. But last Thursday, against the Cowboys team, and it's tough. We don't know how good are the Cowboys going to be. People don't think they're any good.
Well, I felt like they got the C game from the Cowboys and still were in a dogfight.
Yeah. But Jalen Carter, we all know, because of the spinning, did not play. So did that change the entire thing for Dallas? They were able to run the ball with Javonte Williams. Was that the difference, or were there other signs? Dallas did a good job shutting down A.J. Brown. My guess is A.J. Brown's not going to be held to one catch until late in the fourth quarter or for the fourth quarter. So it's going to be a different game plan for the Eagles. It's going to be a different game plan for the Chiefs. This is going to be, I think, a very close game on Sunday. We'll give our official scores later on, I know, in the show, but I think it's a very close game. We all know the environment's going to be awesome out in Arrowhead. There is the feeling of, hey, let's show people that last week wasn't our best football. All of that, I think I'd be shocked if either team wins comfortably.
And later, obviously, Gold's got a stat on what it looks like to be 0-2 and get to a Super Bowl. So that's also probably why the Chiefs are feeling a little bit of this heat. As a reminder, we're out at Community America near I-29 and 152 off of Skyview. We're here for a Red Friday tailgate where you have plenty of opportunities to do all kinds of great stuff. First, the first 100 people are going to be fed starting at 11 o'clock. Then they have their big ATM massive buttons, a chance to win Chiefs-Eagles tickets. Gear up as well. They're going to have, like we mentioned, the Corn Dog Company as part of the food stuff, plus swag and games and other stuff.
KC Rumble.
Chiefs Rumble, the Chiefs cheerleaders, and KC Wolf. So anything and everything you'd like for a traditional tailgate here on a Red Friday, we'll have from 11 to 1 up here at Community America. So come by and see us. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We had a lot of fun last year when we were out for these Red Friday tailgates. First home game of the year coming up. Enjoy a nice Friday in
Kansas
City.
That person just hopped the curb.
Easy
does it there.
People are excited to get in, man.
Easy does. She's trying to get here.
People are excited to get their spot.
You know? Right over the top of that
curve. It's a Friday, too. People got to stop by the credit union as well. It's something that has to happen. I think this morning, I'll be honest, before we get to a break, this morning you're going to make fun of me for this. But
what happened?
I had the alarm set.
Yeah?
Specifically to make sure I was up in time to pre-order the iPhone. It started at 5 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Central.
You set an alarm to order it?
Today was we talked
like
about
a young Alex Gold, man.
Well,
like
we
young Alex Gold.
We talked about it in our pre-show meeting a few days ago. Like, Drew, you were talking about the iPhone Air. Obviously, that's like the new iPhone that's coming out. And then
you and Carrington seem to be high on it.
But I did not pre-order the Air. I ended up going with the Pro, which I had the Pro.
Wait, you shifted?
Yeah, because the battery. So I was reading into it more last night. I was watching way too many videos on like people reviewing it. The battery life thing is better on the Pro, makes sense, than the Air. So that was a big thing for me. And the camera's slightly better on the Pro. And then the one thing that sold me, and this is very unique just to anybody that goes to a lot of sporting events, it says the Wi-Fi, it gets very nerdy, the 5G, like type of 5G, is better on the Pro for if you're in like stadiums and other things. I said, well, sold.
So that
Simple
was it.
That.
You
so
were
I,
talked in just so based I, on that, huh?
So I went with the Pro, and next Friday go. It'll be out.
I order a new phone every, I don't know,
Yours
3 years.
Yours is newer than mine, I think.
I'll be honest. I ordered every like 3 years, and there's no real rhyme or reason to it. The battery starts like dying and not lasting as long. And I'm like, all right, it's enough. If it annoys me enough, then I'll get a new phone. Like, if enough things are slow
battery starts acting up on mine.
Like,
conveniently, the phone starts to die, you know, right around when the new one's coming out. That's how it kind of goes.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's not once a year for me, you know? Like, I don't know. When I used to get them supplied by a company I worked for, I got the new one every year for probably, like, 4 years in a row. And then since then, I'm every, like, 3 years. So, I don't know. You can tell me, I guess, if this one's good, but I'm not going to pre-order it yet.
It's been 3 years, I think, since I upgraded
mine.
That's
a long time, yeah.
A few weeks ago, I was looking at just upgrading, because you can trade in your phone, and essentially it doesn't end up costing you anything if you trade in your phone. At least that's the deal that the provider I use has. And so I'm like, well, why would I not just wait 3 more weeks and find out what this iPhone 17 is about? So it's the same. I could upgrade 2 weeks to the 16, the same cost, which is zero per month, as I am going to pay for this one, which is zero for a month. It was worth waiting.
Oh, zero per month. That's pretty cushy.
Well, because I'm trading in the phone. They have a deal. If you trade in your phone.
Normally, if I trade in my phone, I feel like I get some off, but I'm still
on the
hook.
The CERN provider has
maybe on the wrong provider.
$1,000 trading credit going on right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can't believe a cell phone costs a grand. Some part of it is just like, it hurts my
but
soul.
But at the same time, you think about how much we use them, though, and everything. Anyway,
yeah, I know.
I know, Drew, you were looking at the Air. I'll have to ask you later if you're going to end up pre-ordering that thing or something. Up next, though, let's talk a little Royals baseball. Jake Eisenberg is in Philadelphia. It's an all-Philly weekend. Eagles coming to town. Royals going to Philly to take on the Phillies. We'll ask Eisenberg about what's left on the schedule and look ahead a little bit. I think we have to 2026.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
Back here at Community America Credit Union, their branch off 29 and 152 in the Tiffany Springs Market Center here in KCMO. We got a whole Red Friday tailgate starting up in about 30 minutes here. Of course, free food to the first 100 people that show up. We're going to have Casey Wolf, Chief Cheerleaders, chance to win some Chiefs and Eagles tickets, plus some other swag. Going to be a fun time out here till 1 o'clock. I want to get back to the Chiefs in just a bit, but we, of course, are excited to talk a little Royals baseball with our guy, Jake Eisenberg. He's in Philadelphia. So, Eisenberg, this is a whole Philly weekend. Kansas City, not a fan of Philly whatsoever. Eagles in town, Royals taking on the Phillies. Are you rocking any Chiefs gear like while you're walking around, or are you, or would that be a bad idea?
Right now I'm incognito because I understand that I am in enemy territory, and I hate to say it, it's beautiful here. I mean, I'm sitting outside Independence Hall right now, just took a walk around downtown Philly. It is a gorgeous day, and look, Sunday it's going to be much prettier in Kansas City than it will be here. But yeah, enemy territory, at least right now, it's not so bad. And I'll tell you what, the atmosphere at Citizens Bank Park tonight is going to be pretty electric. We were here a couple of years ago for a weekend series in August, and that was when they gave Trey Turner the standing ovation. This is a place that can really bring that kind of postseason energy. And maybe that's just what the Royals need to go into, you know, a pretty tough environment with their backs up against the wall.
I mean, we know now, Jake, that the number of losses the team can take is very limited. And I know that that's got to be hard on a team to know that your margin for error is essentially none anymore, right? And so, like, I do wonder, especially knowing that they don't have any of their starting pitchers still, and that the entire four of the five guys who started the season are on the injured list, how does a team, knowing they have no margin for error, not feel too tense?
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And, you know, yesterday's game was an absolute gut punch because not only do you lose, but, you know, you lose three out of four to the Guardians. You fall, you know, back behind them after you entered that series in front of them in the wild card standings. The Mariners pull off another extra inning win last night. They've won six in a row, whether it's because they're a good team or because, you know, SC Witches have something to do with it. Like, who's to say? But the Mariners have some magic going on in Seattle. They've won six in a row. And all of a sudden, if you're the Royals, you find yourselves five games out of a playoff spot with 15 games left to play. That's 5 3-game series. And so you need to average picking up at least one game a series down the stretch to even pull into a tie with the Mariners and the Astros, who are currently tied for the AL West lead and that third wild card spot. And so, yeah, the math gets really, really challenging. One thing you do have in your back pocket is that you've got a 3-game series against the Mariners coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. One thing you've got in your back pocket, you finish the year with 6 games on the road against two teams that are very far in the playoff picture in the Angels and the Athletics. The flip side of that is, well, you just lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels, and the only time you faced the Athletics this season, you got swept. That was during the dismal month of June. And so when you're talking about the margin for error, yeah, the margin is about as slim as it's gotten over the course of this entire season.
Jake, you've been around this team the entire season. You know how these guys interact with each other in the clubhouse and just overall. By now, if something is different, it would be pretty noticeable. Do you notice any change now that it's becoming real that, hey, this thing is getting close to the end of the regular season and you just went through the scenarios? Do you sense anybody, I guess, is there panic? Is there a different attitude in the clubhouse?
So I'll kind of non-answer that because I wasn't in the clubhouse post-game yesterday.
Okay.
And I haven't been in the clubhouse yet today. So I don't know if the temperament has changed from yesterday to today. I will say that one thing that these guys have done a really good job of all season long, and I know it's going to, you know, maybe fall on deaf ears or sound a little cliche, but they've done a great job putting one foot in front of the other. They've done a great job of not letting the day before carry into the next day, whether it's been a win or a loss. And so if there's a team that is capable of compartmentalizing to the degree where they can say, okay, we're going to focus on today, we're going to focus on then tomorrow, then we're going to focus on the next day. If there's a team that can do that, it is the Royals, and that starts from the top down with what Matt Cutrero has preached really since he got here in 2023 and then especially last year. So what I've noticed about the Royals is that the temperament has been pretty even keel, which I think is really, really hard to do. And look, you saw what Vinny Pasquantino said the other night. It's not as if these guys don't know what the math is. It's not as if they don't know what the standings are, don't know what the results are.
We've
entered a realm where you're not really supposed to say it. You're not supposed to be like, yeah, we know we're five games out and we have to win. You're not supposed to say it for one reason or another. Why that is, I don't really understand. But it's not as if there's an absence of understanding reality right now. And so, yeah, this team knows that its back is up against the wall.
Oh, he's back. There we go.
Jake, when you look at, like, where this team is and just, like, knowing that this year's odds are still slim, like you mentioned, the team knows that, I know that. I can't help but look at some of the things that go into 2026, and one of the things that stands out to me is what Vinny Pasquantino has done so far this year. Him and Mikel Garcia have had breakout years, 30 home runs, 100 RBI. I know you put the list out of the 10 Royals players who had done that or accomplished that in their career. Vinny has turned himself into one of the most consistent hitters in baseball is the way I view it, and at the very least, I know you got to add to the offense this offseason. Having Vinny, having Mikel, having Bobby, there's at least a little bit of a foundation for 2026 offensively.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hope that Jack Caglione takes a big step forward. And who knows what Carter Jensen can be. Kyle Isbell, even though it's been a quiet month, he's had a really solid offensive season too. Mike Yastrzemski came over. Maybe he's somebody that the Royals keep in the mix. Adam Frazier. Hopefully Jonathan India bounces back. A full season for Michael Massey. You know, you can see what the offense could be, and I think that's one of the reasons why some of the results this season have been as frustrating as you are. And I was thinking about it last night. You know, when you look at some of these seasons individually, guys, you got Vinny Pasquantino putting up a 30-100 season, and that was after a pretty awful month of April. You've got Bobby Witt Jr. who's putting up another MVP-caliber season. Is it as generational as it was last year? No, but that's not necessarily what the expectation should be. He's still been the third-best position player in the American League behind Aaron Judge and Cal Raleigh. And then you have a massive breakout season from Mikel Garcia, who's been a five-win player this year. He's a top-five position player in the American League. He's had a tremendous offensive season. And so that's why some of the disconnect is, well, if those three guys are doing what they're doing, and Salvador Perez has put up some of the power numbers, some of his better power numbers overall, 25 home runs, he's got a career high in doubles, the RBIs are, you know, right around where you might expect him to be. You know, where did it necessarily fall short? And that's a little bit puzzling, I think. But one of the other things, and I'll say this, one of the other things that I think about the 2025 Royals is that as much as we've seen ups and downs from the offense, and there have been mostly downs, the only reason why the Royals are still where they are right now is because of the newfound depth with the starting pitching. And if not for Ryan Burgert and Stephen Kolek, and especially
we'll
Noah Cameron.
We'll have Jake Eisenberg join us next Friday here on the show. I wanted to keep talking, but it's dropping too many times there, unfortunately.
Oh, he was dropping? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, on our – well, maybe it's
for
us.
For us,
I think it's you guys because he's been totally fine this entire time.
Oh, but, well.
Uh-oh.
On our end, he dropped five times during that. during that.
You guys just dropped as well.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not, Jake.
I think we were fine in the first segment, though. So.
Yeah.
We needed to keep on going in and out, but let's just carry on. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. I agree with Jake Eisenberg, at least in this sense, which is when you look at a guy like Vinny Pasquantino and the kind of years they've had, it's a frustrating year, Gold, because the issues that they're having don't make sense to me in the sense that Mikel Garcia, career year. Vinny Pasquantino, career year. Salvador Perez, when you look at the year as a whole, has not been that bad. And you're like, the starting pitching staff is still one of the better in the, the entire ERA for the starting pitchers, the bullpen. All of that, Gold, is one of the better ones in the league. And you are still stuck five games out of a playoff spot. Everything's all screwy. And you got to find a way to, like, bounce back next year. I am looking to 2026 now, Gold. I can't help it. I'm looking at 2026 because that's the direction you kind of have to handle it.
Yeah, I think most of the focus now has to move to that. As unfortunate as we all wanted the Mariners series next week to be this huge series with a big crowd and everything, and barring a shocking sweep of the Phillies this weekend, I don't think that necessarily...
And a sweep of the Mariners.
Well, but setting up the Mariners series, meaning like meeting from a crowd perspective, I think it's over at this point in time. There's no reason to believe that they're going to win, you know, 7 in a row, 8 in a row. As you said, I think they can afford maybe 3 losses the rest of the way. Coming up in about 18 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Briscoe. We'll get his perspective on the Chiefs game on Sunday as the Eagles come to town. Of course, when we do talk a little college football, which we'll do coming up a little bit later with Drew as well, talk about the local college football. Don't forget college football coverage on The Fan brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanner's are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team. Catch every play and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanner's locations. Bud Light and Tanner's, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters.
I'm just surprised at where they are. And that's okay. We can talk more to Jake Eisenberg, and we'll take a look at that. In a little bit, Gold, we got to get to your golden lock.
All right, we might have lost the guys again.
Okay.
Oh, are you guys there? I guess not. Okay, so while we work through the technical difficulties... again, apologies for that. Apologies for Jake Eisenberg and those things. Gold had some stats that he had pulled up or had researched, as well as Carrington yesterday. And the Chiefs haven't started 0-2 since 2014. This is something, obviously, you know, the playoff chances significantly decrease if for teams that start 0-2. Obviously, the guys talked about that last year with some particular teams. But, you know, the need to not go 0-2, I feel like is strong. I don't know how you feel on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, but it feels like there's more pressing on this game. And I know that we haven't seen this for the Kansas City Chiefs recently, where, yes, they go down and they have issues and they try to overcome these things. And it's ended up working out for them in their favor. But it feels a little bit different, and I don't know if it's the way that the defense looked in week one in that matchup against the Chargers, but it feels like there's less margin for error with this team, to Cody's point earlier. Like, look, can they afford to go down early in this game? I think they have to be the ones to punch first. I wanted that in the game against the Chargers too, and they had the ball. Obviously, it didn't work out with the Xavier Worthy stuff, but it felt like that's something that they needed to come out and do right away. I think we got the guys back now. I was just talking about the 0-2 record, that not happening since 2014.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of those trends and what happens when you start 0-2. Now, I would say with any of these trends, keep in mind, I think we've learned our lesson over the last couple of years. A lot of trends simply have not applied to the Chiefs. Now, the question is, do you believe this is a year and now a different era of Chiefs football? And that's something we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks. I don't think even Sunday will decide that, but there's a lot of trends that don't point in your favor if you start 0-2. I think we understand that. But the same way a lot of trends did not end up panning out when the Patriots were involved in them, there's certain quarterbacks, certain teams, organizations that I don't think you can lean on trends as much. But we definitely will discuss that as well. Hopefully our connection's sounding a little bit better as we're broadcasting live from a Red Friday tailgate, which begins in 15 minutes here at Community America Credit Union, their branch off 29 and 152 in the Tiffany Springs Market Center in KCMO. Free food to the first 100 people. We got an awesome food truck. The Corn Dog Company is out here. You can take some photos with the Chiefs cheerleaders at KC Wolf, the Chiefs Rumble, plus a chance to win tickets to this Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Cody mentioned that I need to hand out a few picks. I've been going on other shows doing that. So, Drew, let's get to the Golden Locks.
Just because you love something doesn't mean you're good at it. But Alex Gold and betting on sports?
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
It's time for Golden Locks.
All right, I'm not going to do our Circa picks, which is where we're trying to go 0-5 this week.
Oh, these are actual winners.
Yes. Now, we can keep an eye on them and see if we should have gone with these or not. But remember, in our Circa Millions contest, we want to go 0-5. So that we finish last place for the quarter and win 25K. And we are going to submit those picks later on. But let me tell you, picks that I actually like for this week. Let's start with Jacksonville, +3.5. I like them to cover against Drew's Cincinnati Bengals.
You learned your lesson after week one, huh?
Well, it's not even a reaction to that as much as I actually thought Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville with Liam Cohen looked pretty decent. Now, they weren't playing the best opponent in the world, but neither were the Cincinnati Bengals, they were playing 42-year-old Joe Flacco and struggled on offense. Now, the Jags defense, I think, is going to certainly give up far more than what we saw Cleveland give up. To me, this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game, and I'm getting 3.5 points. I like Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas and company, and ETN. That's my big switch on the Jags is ETN looked good. After last year struggling, getting injured multiple times, and never staying healthy, I actually like the opportunity there for Jacksonville to cover and keep an eye on a potential upset. This is not just me saying it because we go back and forth on Cincy and hating on him. I wasn't that impressed with Cincinnati in week one. Why should I think that they're capable of covering a 3.5 against a Jags team that I told you I have winning the AFC South this year?
The one big difference with them was obviously their run defense, but they were going up against one of the worst offensive lines in football with Dylan Sampson. I want to see him against a decent run-blocking offensive line as good as Travis Etienne looks. If they hold him down, I will start believing that Cincinnati found a way to improve their run defense, which was such a problem for them last year. So, yeah, I don't hate that one. All right. What else you got?
Other lock, Arizona minus 6.5 in their game. We were talking about this one for our Circa Millions and trying to figure out if you think that there's a possibility of the Carolina Panthers covering or not. Now, Bryce Young did not look good whatsoever.
He looked bad.
Was that who he is, or was the final 8 games where he was clutch what he is? So what happened there? Was that just trying to get Tet McMillan involved? They don't have Adam Thielen anymore. Dave Canales obviously is on the hot seat if things go south this year. But the latest line on this game has the Carolina Panthers as 6.5-point underdogs. I do like Arizona to cover the 6.5. People will point to the Saints last week and Spencer Rattler nearly coming back and covering. Remember, they had a chance in the end zone to tie the game. They did not. Arizona covered the 6.5 last week against Spencer Rattler. This go-around, it's Bryce Young. I don't think it's a huge difference overall for Arizona in terms of their defensive performance, but I think we'll see Kyler Murray and company actually have a little more success than they did last week.
I will say I'll feel significantly better about my Arizona Cardinals pick to win the NFC West. If they start 2-0 gold, I'll feel pretty good about that. Kyler does not. Do you have any idea why? We talk about average quarterbacks in the NFL all the time. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I don't feel like nearly enough people just put Kyler in that range. It doesn't mean you're going to lose a bunch of games. I'm saying he is an average NFL quarterback. I think it's like more in the negative end. They don't even lump him in with the guys gold that I think are just average NFL quarterbacks that people are happy to have on their teams. They talk about him like he's somehow in a lower tier than that.
Because it's easy to forget about him. It's easy
he's a perfectly fine quarterback, though. Yeah, that might be it. But, like, I just feel like, Drew, he gets lumped in with guys that are way worse. Sure. He gets lumped in with the Trevor Lawrences of the world. And he has statistically been significantly better than guys like that.
Yeah, I just think they'll be able to protect Kyler Murray better than they did last week against the Saints. The Saints' defensive front, even though the team we don't think is any good, their defensive front still has Cam Jordan. They still have, to me, some playmakers. Last week, the Cardinals gave up 4+ sacks. Actually, I think they got sacked 5 times by the Saints, and they won. They were prior to that. Anytime Kyler Murray had been sacked 4 more times, they were 0-11. So they won a game in which he actually got sacked a bunch. I actually view that as a positive.
Yeah, I do too.
Finding ways to win. So anyway, and then the last one, we're going to talk about it all show. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes as a home dog, +1.5. Mahomes has only been a home dog one other time at home in his career in 68 starts, and that was against the Bills in 2022. And they did lose outright 24-20. I just, out of principle, if I get Mahomes with points at Arrowhead in a season opener, and after a game in which, to me, there was just a lot of communication errors on defense, now they have a full week to prepare without knowing they're not going to have Worthy, we think. We'll find out officially later on today, maybe. This, to me, is a spot I have to take the Chiefs getting points.
I'm with you, even though, like, I would point out, the one time that he was a home dog, they were right. Like, they were correct in making him a home dog. But at the same time, while that's true, it's like, what kind of sample size is that, dude? That's literally one game. So, like, I can't make my betting advice based on that. I can make my betting advice knowing that the Chiefs win almost all their games and almost all their home games in the course of his career. So, honestly, Gold, we're pretty aligned on this. You know, oftentimes, I don't just say it just because you and I are in there. We're relatively aligned. Arizona, I'd probably just avoid, but the other two I like.
Now, those are the actual picks. But for our Circa Millions with Bink, with Dusty, with
Speck,
with
yourself.
How's it looking right now?
Do we have our picks yet?
What are we doing this week? We're trying to tank. That's what we're trying to do. We need 5 picks to lose. So far, submissions from Bink. Seattle +3, meaning he does not think they're going to cover.
Okay.
It's reverse of everything
against
I'm about
two.
To say. Who do the Seahawks?
I don't remember who Seattle plays.
That's going to drive me crazy.
It's another mediocre team, isn't it?
Seattle Seahawks this week have the Steelers on the road.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So he has the Pittsburgh Steelers covering, basically.
Sure.
He has Indy as a pick-up, meaning he thinks Denver's winning. And he has the Chargers minus 3.5, meaning he has the Raiders covering the 3.5.
He thinks that's the Seahawks are covering 3 against the Steelers?
No.
No, he doesn't think it. Remember, that's, we're trying to lose.
We're picking losers. We want these bets
we're
to lose.
We're losers, Drew.
We're going for the last place 25K quarter prize.
Okay. Which three are yours right now? I might change mine.
Mine
I'm not
right now,
in yet.
Indy pick-up, meaning I think Denver is going to win. I need Indy to lose. Baltimore minus 11.5, meaning in this case, I don't think they're covering. I think Cleveland's going to cover because we need it to be wrong. And then the Saints plus 3, meaning I actually think the Niners are going to cover.
How was Cleveland covering last year? That's what I should have looked up. Because it's not as a dramatically different team than the year before.
They've won three out of the last five against the Ravens. They've definitely covered against the Ravens before.
I just meant in general, but yeah, they're just good at making games ugly.
It's AFC North, man, yeah.
I give Cleveland a lot of credit for just playing hideous football games that I don't want to watch with my two eyes.
There you go.
But from a betting perspective and 11.5 points, the only question I have is, are the Ravens out for blood?
The Ravens
after the way it went.
The Ravens are just the 18th team since 1999 to be a double-digit favorite in week two after losing the prior week in week one. Those teams in week two are 5-12 against the spread. In general, double-digit favorites in division are hitting at a 45% against the spread rate since 2003.
Okay, so generally speaking, it's a 50-50 proposition to choose a double-digit spread, but it's good in week two, it sounds like, historically. So, yeah, I'm on that Ravens.
And then Rob submitted his, or you submitted yours. You have the Chargers minus 3.5, meaning you think the Raiders are covering. You also have Indy, and you also have Baltimore. Rob has Miami minus 1, meaning he thinks the Patriots are going to cover the 1. He has the Saints, like I do, meaning he thinks the 49ers. And then he has Dallas minus 5.5, meaning he thinks the Giants are covering the 5.5.
I'm surprised that none of you guys have the Bengals minus 3.5 since you had it on your golden locks that the Jacks.
He was tempted by it.
Yeah,
he was tempted by it. Look, Cincinnati also, I'd like to see. They're one of the teams that, like, I bet in week one because I was pretty confident they were going to cover. They didn't.
It's a divisional game,
they played
game,
an
man.
Ugly game, and I want to just leave it out of my hands for this time and see which way it goes instead. I'm not nearly as confident in that selection as I was this time around because I felt like I had a good handle on where Cincinnati was going to be this year, and after watching that game, I'm less sure about where I thought they're going to be. Even though I didn't think they were a playoff team, they didn't play well against a bad team. I'd like to maybe see them again. And I also don't feel like I know enough about Jacksonville. It's just a matchup that I don't like because I don't feel like I know where those two teams in particular are or will be. So I'm just staying out of it.
It's a big week for
both
getting a better gauge on truly everybody. Week one overreaction. We've gone through what happened in week one last year for some teams and then how they finished. Saints are the example that we've used a lot. Week two, you start to find out, oh, maybe this team just actually isn't very good. Or this team, oh, that was just an outlier week one performance. Like, the Dolphins are interesting. Everybody thinks they're terrible and they're trash. And maybe they are.
But maybe they're mediocre.
If they
really
play well and
game.
Beat the Patriots, and it's like, okay, they're not that bad. The Colts, are the Colts that good with Daniel Jones, or are the Dolphins that bad? We're going to find out. The Colts are playing the Denver Broncos. If the Colts beat the Broncos, then I think we have to view the Colts in a much different light.
I agree.
And their chances in the AFC South. So,
yeah, I agree.
Or how you view Bo Nix. I mean, there's just a lot of things that can change with this week. Up next, we will be joined by Joshua Briscoe, of course, part of the Chiefs Radio Network. We'll get his perspective on what the Chiefs have to do against the Eagles on Sunday.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.